What's going on, guys? It's your boy Big Baby Steve. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Philly Talks, guys. Thank you for playing that play button and downloading the episode. It truly means a lot. I thank you for the support. I truly do appreciate it. Before we even get to the episode, guys, Spotify has let me use music now. They're letting me use music for my episodes. So every week at the end of the episode, I'll put the song of the week to end the episode correctly. You know, nice little song. The only thing is, if you're listening to me on any other platform other than Spotify, then you're not going to be able to listen to the song. The episode will just end. If you are listening to me on Spotify, you will be able to listen to the song at the end of the end of the episode. So that's the only update I got for that. It's kind of cool. I guess Spotify, they bought Anchor, which is where I do my podcast at. They bought that out. And now they're trying to get more listeners to their platforms. We've seen this while they've taken the Joe Rogan experience, that podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast. They've taken it to Spotify exclusively, paying Joe Rogan a ton of money. So they're trying to get their platform to be number one. And this is another way they're trying to do it. So, you know, I can't be mad at them for that. I wish I could put the music out for everybody, but they just won't allow it, which makes sense. I think that's only, that's only an update. This episode is called Emotional Connection. Guys, I had an emotional connection almost a week ago. I didn't know what it was right away, but very quickly I realized, because of what was happening at that time, that I was emotionally connected to my girlfriend, Kat, and I've never been emotionally connected to anybody who I've dated or been in a relationship with. So it was kind of weird, but I love that I knew instantly what it was. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just sharing my experience for the first time being able to have an emotional connection, because a lot of people, honestly, they don't, like, there's couples that never feel an emotional connection. They've been together, you know, 5, 6 years, maybe 10 years, and they've never felt that. You know what I'm saying? Me and Kat have been together for a little over a year now, so it was kind of cool. So I thought I'd bring that up and hopefully, you know, let you guys know that this should be something that you guys should be, not saying that we're like we're a couple goals or anything like that, but I definitely think everyone should feel this, because it made me feel so much closer to her, even though she wasn't near me. So let's get right into the episode. You know what I'm saying? Because I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys listen to it. And really understand what I'm saying from this episode. So let's get right into it. Guys, you are now listening to Philly Talks. What's going on, guys? So you guys saw the title of this episode, Emotional Connection. What does it mean? Before, I thought emotional connection just meant understanding the person that you feel like you're connected to, like your significant other, your mother, something of that nature. This is the first time I actually felt emotional connection with somebody I've been in a relationship with. You know, and before I used to think it was just, you just understood. You just understood them. Like, oh, I understand why you're sad. I understand why you're angry, why you're happy. This is the first time where I was like, oh, wow, what the freak is going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do I have tears coming down my face? It was such a crazy experience. So I had dropped off Kat at her house, my girlfriend Kat, and I had just grabbed some food from my aunt's house. She told me to come by, grab some food, because she was making a whole bunch. So I said, hey, I'm there, say no more. And as I 5 minutes away that I am from the house, as I'm driving, tears start to fall down my face. You know what I'm saying? I can't understand why I'm crying. I can't understand why this is happening. But very quickly, because of the events that happened earlier that day, I realized these are not my tears. These are actually my girlfriend's tears. These are Kat's tears. And I said, whoa. So, you know, immediately I texted her and said, hey, how's it? Like, are you okay? Whatever she said. She's like, yeah, I just started crying a little while ago. And I said, you know, I told her I can tell. Like, I started crying too. Like, but it, like, I could tell they weren't my tears, I realized. So to give you some background of why this happened and how I realized how emotionally connected I was. Me and Kat have been going out for a little over a year now. So last Friday, I went to go take her and her pet cat, her oldest pet cat, that's 14 years old, took him to the a vet appointment because he was breathing a little heavily. And the vet, while Kat was in with the vet, she texted me like 15 minutes later because I couldn't go inside. And she says, we have to go to the emergency vet room. And I'm like, oh no, what happened? And she comes back to the car a couple minutes later and she explains that the cat has fluids in his lung. And the amount of fluid is so much that the vet can't drain it. So they're not equipped to drain that much fluid. So they have to send him to the emergency room to get drained. So we drive over. Very quickly, I knew that wasn't a good sign. I knew that something bad was going to happen, but I was trying to be optimistic, and you know, Kat was freaking out, so I'm trying to get her to be optimistic as well. We get to the emergency room and we have to leave him there. We can't stay with the cat or anything. We have to leave him there, give his information, and they'll give us a call back once they figure out what they want to do in there, whatever. So at that point, me and Kat go over and we go grab something to eat real quick near, you know, we went to a Target that was nearby that had a Starbucks, and then we went to a Wawa and I went to get her something to eat, because in the pit of my stomach, I knew something bad was going to happen, but I knew if she didn't eat now, she wouldn't eat later after she got the news. Like, something was just telling me. So I was like, I have to get her to eat now, you know. So literally, as soon as we're done eating at the Wawa parking lot, which is not that far from the vet at all, it's like literally 5 minutes, we get the call. And basically the veterinarian basically just says, hey, like, he has fluid in his lungs. We have to drain it, which is going to cost around $3,000 to drain, just for the drainage. And then we get to look to see if either he has a cancer mass or if it's just a thyroid problem, which they really can't fix because he's such a, like, an older cat. All they can do is give him treatments. Like, they can give him, like, pills and medicine, stuff like that, which wouldn't guarantee him getting better. You know what I'm saying? Or we can just put him to sleep. So, you know, Kat, you know, she says, can I get a minute? And, you know, she tells me what's going on. And at this point, and this has nothing to do with the emotional connection, but I think at this point, I want to give a teaching moment to not only to the young people, but to the older people as well. Is at this point, like, as much as I wanted to comfort Kat so badly and give her a hug and tell her what to do and all that, I realized like I had to let her make this decision herself. I knew that if she was going to go with the treatment, that she had to know that it was her decision, and you know, whatever comes from it is what comes from it. But also, if she was going to put the cat to sleep, then it would be her decision. And I didn't want to comfort her at that time because I needed her to make that decision, because in a way, not that I'm like some teacher or anything like that, or that I'm some wise old man, or I'm nothing like that. But I knew that she needed this choice to be made by herself without the comfort of somebody telling her, like, oh yeah, that's a good decision. Like, you know, she didn't need a cheerleader at that point. She just needed a ear to listen to her and see what she's going to do, and then for her to make her own decisions. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times parents and a lot of friends and boyfriends and girlfriends, we cheerlead from the background about someone's decision that they might not want to make, but they make it because we're cheerleading, because we don't give them that moment of silence to really think. We don't give them that chance to really weigh their options and go, do I want to go down this path? We're always cheerleading, like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Do this, do that, do that. Oh yeah, that's really good. Like, no, we don't need that. You know what I'm saying? We have to give them a moment to make a decision. Unfortunately, Kat only had a couple of minutes to make the decision, and she already knew what she wanted to do. Oh, and also the reason why I feel like you shouldn't cheerlead isn't because you're
you're making them go down a path they don't want to. But because at the end of the day, once that goes awry, they're going to want to blame somebody. And they might want to blame you because you were cheerleading them on from the sideline. Like, oh, damn, I shouldn't have done this, but because you said it was a good idea, now I'm in this situation. So I didn't want that. I needed her to know this is your decision. This is your cat. You know what I'm saying? You've had him for about 12, 11 years now. So, like, I think she got him when he was, like, 3. So he's, like, 14. So 11 years. He had him for around 11 years. You know, this is your cat. You know what I'm saying? So she knew what the decision was. She knew she had to put him to sleep because, he was an older cat. And even if they would have drained it and it wasn't cancer, let's say it wasn't cancer, and it was like his thyroid problem, they were just going to give him a whole bunch of medicines to dope him up, you know what I'm saying? Because he still was going to be in pain. And if it was cancer, he still was going to be in pain, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was nothing, the other option of a treatment, was never like, okay, this is going to guarantee him to get better, you know what I'm saying? It's not like humans or something where we get sick and then we're like, okay, take this medicine for the next 2 weeks. You're going to feel horrible, but then you'll get a lot better. You know, that's not that there's no guarantee that the medication was going to work. It was only by chance. You know what I'm saying? So I think Kat already knew. And I applaud her decision later on, because at the same time, if it's me, if it's my pets or someone else's pets or someone else's kid, if they have to live in pain to live, you know what I'm saying, then they're not really living. You know what I'm saying? If you put somebody in a treatment and they're in constant pain, but you want them to live because you want them to live, not because they want to live, like, you're hurting them more than you're helping them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad Kat didn't need me for that decision. She said, look, I don't want to dope him up with all this medication, because it's not going to be the same cat that I've been living with for 11 years. It's going to be like a mopey cat that's going to disappear and go sleep in weird places and not want to eat and stuff like that. Maybe start throwing up and all this craziness. Like, you don't want that. You want to remember the cat that you had. You want to remember either the pet or the person that you knew. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to see them go down this line of pain and death to then later on go, damn, like, I probably should not have made that pet or person go through this long path of pain and suffering to finally die. Might as well just, hey, we can let you go peacefully, you know, without hurting you, then you should definitely let them go. And I truly believe that, you know, and that goes for me. If I'm ever in a car accident where I have brain damage and you know, there's no way to fix me, so I would want someone to make sure, like my mother or Kat would be like, hey, like, you know, you have to pull the plug on him because he's not coming back. You know what I mean? No matter how long you keep him alive, he's not coming back. He's just suffering. And I would be suffering, even though I'd probably be in a coma. I'd be suffering because I'm not living my life. I'm just a vegetable at this point. You know what I'm saying? Let me go. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad Kat made that decision. And so we called back and we told him we wanted to put him to sleep. Because he was in pain. They were telling us that the fluid in his lungs, even if we would have drained it, most likely would come back and he was still going to be in pain. So he's in pain, and God knows how long he's had that fluid in his lungs. So he was in pain through all that time, and now he's in pain now. So we made the decision. So we went in a couple minutes later, and they let us, they brought the cat up to us. The cat's name is Dusty. And they brought Dusty up to the room that we were in. And, you know, right away we can tell, like, Dusty, well, she can tell Dusty. I've only known Dusty a little over a year, but here and there, you know what I'm saying, when I would go visit. It's not like I spent 24 hours in a day with him. And she knew he was acting weird. And in a way, the way he was acting, it was like, I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired. It's time for me to go type situation. And I think that helped out a lot with the cat making that decision later on without me cheerleading. Is that when she finally saw him and he was like, I'm just, I just want to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, he kind of knew. He's like, my job here is done. And the reason why, and please don't think that this was an easy decision where we're just at the Wawa parking lot. Kat's like, all right, we're just going to let him go. I don't want to pay the money. Like, no, like Dusty was really like Kat's emotional animal. You know what I'm saying? Kat has had some surgeries throughout her life, the last couple of years, but mostly throughout her life, from probably high school and up, where she would get a surgery. She would be bedridden for probably a couple of months. And this cat, Dusty, would sit with her for days at a time. I mean, if she went to the bathroom, he went to the bathroom. If she ate, he ate. If she didn't eat, he didn't eat. If she didn't get water, he didn't want to go. He stayed with her for those dark days where she was just bedridden, where she was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be bedridden in the house. And she had multiple of those surgeries. So that's multiple times where this cat was just like, I'll be here for you. You know what I'm saying? That type of stuff can depress somebody really badly. But, you know, he was there to keep her sane, basically, and keep her company. Because you imagine, even though she has family, everyone's working, everyone's going to school. So there, I'm pretty sure there were days where she would have to be alone, just, you know, bedridden. And hopefully be able to stand up to go to the bathroom by herself or something like that. So a cat was her emotional cat. She's raised it since she was 3. So this was a very, very hard decision for her to make, and a very hard decision to actually stick into the room while it happened. While we were in the car, she actually said she didn't want to be in the room. And I said, well, if you want, I can stay in the room with him just for somebody that he knows to be in there in his final moments. That way it's just not him and some stranger doctor. So as we were waiting for the doctor, they already had the needle with the fluid in it, and it was already in his arm. And they said when he comes up, they'll give him the medicine to put him to sleep and then stop his heart. So one of them puts him to sleep, one of them numbs him so he doesn't feel any pain, and the other one puts him stops his heart. She actually decided to stay at the end. And she was like, no, I want to stay. He was there for me. I'm going to be here for him. And that's tough. You know what I'm saying? That's tough to watch. Because at the end of the day, like, low-key, like, that's probably what's, like, that cat was probably not only her emotional cat, but, like, her best friend. You know what I'm saying? That was the cat that would greet her when she was walking through the door. That's the cat that when she was feeling down and depressed, it would be there. It would just show up, and you know, it would know, and she realized that. So as we're there, and you know, the first, we were there for a minute, but yeah, Dusty was definitely ready. He was like, "Look, I'm old. Like, take me out of my misery." You know what I'm saying? Like I've enjoyed my time with you guys, but it's time for me to go. So, and mind you, this is even harder. Not just because it was her cat, but also, she actually lost her grandfather late this year as well, around October-ish. So it's not that far ago that she just lost her grandfather. So now she's losing her grandfather, now she's losing her oldest cat. So it's an emotional time for her at this stage, at the end of 2020. So I knew this was going to hit her even harder. So, you know, they put the first injection to put him to sleep. Second injection numbs him. Third injection stops the heart. And once they put him to sleep, the way how cats usually are curled up with their back out and they're on their paws or whatever, once they inject the first fluids into the syringe and it goes through the water line into the vein, he just drops. Like, his legs drop, he's asleep. You know what I'm saying? And then she tells us right before she puts the one that puts his heart to sleep. She's like, here I go, I'm about to put the one that puts heart to sleep. That stops the heart, sorry. And you could just see him, like, he took his last couple breaths in peace. He wasn't gasping for air or anything. He was literally just in peace, just going. And I knew that was hard for her. You know what I'm saying? I knew that basically after that happened, she just wanted to leave. She was like, I'm just ready to go. I know. And at one point, I wanted to hug her, but I knew she didn't want to hug. She just wanted to leave. So they said, you know, hey, we'll let you know when you could come grab. Like, they're giving her some, like, the footprint paws on a paper or something like that for, you know, for just to remember him by. And I think she also was going to pick up the ashes, and I think she's going to pour it out somewhere, you know, set him free. So we left and whatever, and we went back to my house, and we cuddled up for a little bit, and, you know, was trying to make things normal, you know what I'm saying? But I wanted her to know, like, you know, if you need to cry, you can cry. But I feel like she, in her head, she didn't want to cry, you know, because she knew it was the right thing to do. And she knew that she did everything for that cat and that cat did everything for her. So she didn't want to cry, but she did cry and stuff like that. But I just try to comfort her as much as possible to the point where, like, if you want to cry, you can cry. If you want to continue like things are normal and, you know, to get the process going, we could do that too. If you need a moment alone, let me know. You know what I'm saying? I'll step away or something. So we were together for probably the next 2 or 3 hours. And then I think she was ready to go home. So we left. And I dropped her off. And she asked me to drop her. It's the crazy part. She asked me to drop her in behind the garage, in the back garage area, because she didn't want to go through the front door, because usually when you go through the front door, he would usually be there to greet her. This time she knew he wasn't going to be there to greet her, so she wanted to go through the back garage. So I dropped her off. I went to my aunt's house because she called me to come grab food. So I grabbed some food. I was there for maybe at my aunt's house for maybe 25, 30 minutes. And I come back and I'm driving home, and 5 minutes away before I get to my house, I start tearing up. And I'm like, tears are falling from my face. It's not just tearing up where I'm fighting them back. Like, I didn't know I needed to fight them back. They just came down my face. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And that's when I realized they were not my tears. They were her tears. And I said, wow, this is crazy. That's when I texted her and asked her if she was all right, what she's doing. She said she started to cry and whatever, and she didn't want to go into her room, so she was in her sister's room. And that's big, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, wow, I just, you know, and I told her, and I'm like, I knew you were crying because I started crying, you know? And don't forget, yes, I saw the cat, Dusty, die and everything, but, like, I don't have an emotional connection to that animal, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like I don't have love for it, but I just, it didn't hit me the way it hit Cat, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've only known this the animal for only a little bit, so it didn't hit me the way it hit Cat. But I think because we were together, her like her emotions transferred over to me, you know what I'm saying? And I thought, wow, this is the first time in any relationship where I felt someone else's feelings, you know what I'm saying, without knowing that I'm feeling them, knowing that I'm like emotionally connected to somebody. Like, it was crazy. It was like, wow, like, I just cried your tears. They're not even my tears. I just cried out your emotions. And I remember her texting back saying, oh, really? Wow, that's, you know, that's crazy and everything. And she basically apologized. Like, I'm sorry about making you feel bad. I said, no, it's fine. Like, I don't mind taking some of that sadness from you. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I can tell this hurts. You know what I'm saying? So I understand. But it was such a weird, I believe something else happened. I can't remember. This is like my second take trying to do this, cause my dog started barking on the first take of me trying to record this. So I'm trying to remember what was the other one. I can't remember. I think she was like, oh, I want to talk. Just like, she wanted to talk to me and I called her. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know why I called her. I just called her. So I'm just going to call her. And because usually I wait for her to call me. But I called her and she was like, oh, wow. I was literally just thinking about calling you just now. And that's how I knew, like, we're connected in such a weird way. And this isn't the first time. We've kind of known for a minute, like, we've kind of been connected, where we can tell that somebody else's mood has changed without knowing, without even being around each other. You know what I'm saying? We just knew. You know what I'm saying? The other day, last Sunday, actually, 2 days later, I went to work delivering for Amazon, and I actually sprained my knee. And I was in pain throughout the whole day because I had to finish out my route and whatever. And because I thought it was the right thing to do, but I was completely stupid for doing that. But that's a different topic for a different day. But she was feeling uneasy as well, like something was wrong, and it wasn't because of her cat had just died. It was something else, and she knew that something was wrong with me. And she just said, she sent me a text later on in the day and was like, hey, like, when you get a chance, come, like, call me, because she knows I can't talk to her while I'm driving. call me. I just want to hear your voice and whatever. And when I told her about it, she's like, I knew something was wrong. Like, I can feel it. I could feel the uneasiness, like, in her body. Like, she could feel that tension. And that's how I knew, like, we're both emotionally connected to each other. It's just not me to her and her to me. It's both of us. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because most people don't get to, realize that or feel that until they're like 4 or 5 years into a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it. The only people you can really say you have that connection with is maybe your sister, your brother, or your mom. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, you really can't say. Like, the only people I know that probably have this connection from birth are twins, maybe. Twins. Because they grow up together all, and they do everything. And most of the time, twins do everything together. You know what I'm saying? Because they're in the womb together. They both get are given birth within the exact same time from each other. 1 minute, 2 minutes before the other one. So, like, and then when they're actually, like, together, that connection, that bond starts to grow. So they're the only ones I can think of. I was like, wow, who else can feel this? Other than, like, people who've been in a relationship for 5 to 10 years. You know what I'm saying? It's I would have to say twins. Twins are the only ones that can grow up with this emotional connection where, you know, and they say that, you know, we've all heard that twins are connected in that way, emotionally and physically connected. Like, if one twin is feeling sad, the other twin, no matter how far or close they are, they can tell that they're sad. If one twin gets hurt, the other twin feels that hurt. You know what I'm saying? They feel, they go, wow, they, what was that? And they find out later on their twin got hurt. Like, they feel that type of connection. And I was like, wow, like, that's crazy. Like, that blows my mind. You know what I'm saying? That we could be that emotionally connected. You know? It let me know, like, wow, like, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that not many people get to, not only endure, but realize. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that I sit around and go, wow, like, I had to tell somebody about this. And thank God I have a podcast that I can spread the word. Because I thought emotional connections was something way different than what I was feeling at that moment. And when I realized that what it was, I was like, wow, I've been misled. I didn't know what emotional connection was. It was actually the opposite of what I thought it was. So, you know, that type of thing just blew my mind. I'm like, wow. And then I did go back and I said, did I ever have this with any of my other relationships? And it's no. No matter if we were just dating, if we were just hanging out, or if we were in a relationship, I've never had that emotional connection with somebody else that made me go, I can feel what you feel. Not understand what you feel, but I can feel it. I can emotionally feel what you feel. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, that was something, you know. And again, you know, again, 2020 hasn't been the year for Kat losing her grandfather and her oldest cat. But in a way, I thought it was poetic justice that she was there for his final moments, because in a way her cat Dusty taught her another valuable lesson as well. Because in the future, when, you know, if me and Kat have kids, or, you know, I would like to have kids in the future, you know what I'm saying, but it's going to teach Kat in a way, like, you know what, I know how to handle this for my kids in the future. You know what I'm saying? If we get dogs or cats for our kids, she'll know how to handle this situation because she's been there. You know what I'm saying? So in a way, Dusty taught her a valuable lesson for the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you have kids, this is what they're going to be feeling. And because they feel this, you know, you now have to go down a different path to try to communicate with them. You're gonna have to give them some space. Don't just hound on them and be like, oh, you're okay, every 5 minutes. Give them that space. Give them time to grieve. And, you know, don't ignore it. Don't pretend like it didn't happen. You know, it happened. We know it happened. But we're going to keep moving forward because you can't keep looking back. And I thought that was the most poetic justice and one of the greatest things that Dusty the cat could have done for my girlfriend, because in a way, he taught her a valuable lesson, you know? And he taught her not to fear facing adversity, you know what I'm saying? Because she didn't want to be there. She wanted to remember her cat as he was before he got sick. But, you know, in a way, I'm not going to say he forced her, but he showed her, like, hey, you have to face adversity until the very end. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing's going to stop. Life is not going to get easier from this point on. And it's not going to get easier if you just ignore it and you don't face what you're supposed to be facing. And I think by doing that, yes, it made her sad. Yes, it broke her heart. I knew it. I could feel her heart break when he took his last breath. You know what I mean? The first, when he got put to sleep, and I mean sleep, not like not stop, not his heart stopped, but actually get put to sleep and his legs fell over, I could feel her heart drop, you know. But when the doctor said, I'm going to put in the thing to stop the heart, and he took his last breath, I could feel her heart break. Like it was broken. It was shattered into a million pieces. But I, in a way, she needed that because now it makes her even 10 times stronger for the future to not be afraid to face things, because life's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So you have to toughen yourself up now. That way in the future, you can be there for, you know, your kids and your nieces and your nephews and stuff like that in the future, where you can be there and be like, hey, I know what you're going through. This is how we're going to go through it. You know? So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Rest in peace to Dusty. You know what I'm saying? He lived 14. Well, actually, no, I wouldn't say 14. He lived 11 great years. I believe the first 3 years weren't that great, if I'm not mistaken. I think the people that Kat and her sister got the cat from, he wasn't really taken care of. And I think that's why he was so appreciative to her, because the first two and a half years didn't go so well for him with the first owners, that I think he appreciated Kat 10 times more for the way he cared for him for all 11 years. And I think that's why he was so loyal to her, you know, rather than obedient, he was loyal. And that's another episode I'm going to be recording as well, the difference between loyalty and obedience. But you could tell they had this connection between each other that was just, it was pure. You know what I'm saying? And they say that when you rescue an animal, that they are 10 times more appreciative than an animal that you got when they were a puppy. You know what I mean? Because now they've been through so much before. They've been through a time that wasn't so pleasant. That now that they're with an owner that makes every day pleasant for them, they are so much more not only happier but grateful. Cause they're like, I don't take this for granted at all. Like, I'm living in the moment. You know what I'm saying? And yes, they're pets, and you're probably like, Steve, I don't think they do. No, they definitely do. They definitely recognize when you've taken them out of a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? There's plenty of rescue dogs and rescue cats and that need to be rescued because, you know, they were out during the winter and, you know, their owners left them outside for days and they're freezing cold. So you best believe when you take them out the rescue, and you rescue them, and now they're in a warm home for, you know, for the whole year. They're like, oh, wow, like, I'm not going to forget this. I'm actually really appreciative that you saved me where I don't have to be freezing my ass off outside or going hungry, you know, or being forgotten for days. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at your pets and you be like, oh, it's just a dog, it's just a cat, just a bird. No, like those are living, breathing things as well, and they have emotions just like everyone else. So you make sure you show them that love, you know. But guys, thank you for listening. This is my first time experiencing something like that. I don't take it for granted whatsoever. That's why I brought it to you guys on the podcast. Not because I wanted to, like, oh, I got to put some content up. Like, no. I'm putting this up because I think people need to hear it. That, you know, you're with the right person when you have that emotional connection. Because I don't think emotional connection just comes from anybody. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you can just go into a relationship and be together for a year or two and then get that emotional connection. Like, that's not, like, no. It's not something that's going to develop. It's not something that can be, like, okay, in 2 years we're going to get, or 5 years we're going to get emotionally connected. Like, it's not something you can pinpoint. It's something that can be developed, but only if you truly are invested into your relationship 100%. If you're not invested to your relationship 100%, you're never going to get it. So there's no reason to waste your time and the other person's time. You know, you want to look for that emotional. And I'm not saying like, oh, well, Steve and Kat got their emotional connection within a year. I'm not saying that whatsoever. So if you don't get it, so all of a sudden, if you don't get your emotional connection with your partner within a year, then they're not the right person. I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm just saying you have to look out for the signs to know if you're down the right path with the right person, is what I'm trying to say. Because once you realize you're emotionally connected, and you will realize it, you'll go like, wow, I remember that Philly Talks podcast with that guy, Steve, and he talked about this. He wasn't joking when he said that we really emotionally connected. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, I digress. So guys, thank you for listening. I appreciate you guys. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. I hope you guys are getting your Christmas shopping done. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's another thing as well. Well, I'll probably put that in the intro. I'm going to put that in the intro. But I hope everyone's having a good day. Hope everyone's staying safe. Make sure you're not leaving your pets out in the cold in the backyard in this type of weather. It's not the moves. It's December and it's really cold outside. So make sure your pets are inside nice and warm with some water and food. But guys, stay safe. Thank you for listening. I'm your boy, Big Baby Steve. And you just finished listening to another episode of Philly Talks.